Hey, what's up, everybody? Can you hear me? Are you sure? Are you positive? Can you hear me because you see my lips moving, or you think I'm talking? Or can you hear me? I'm just playing with you guys. I know you can hear me. I can hear myself. What have you guys been up to this week? Anybody been doing anything sweet, fun, cool?
Sure have.
And that would be?
Nothing.
That sounds fun. Anybody else do something fun this week? Something you packed? What did you pack for?
Moving into an apartment.
Moving into an apartment? That sounds fun. Anybody else do anything fun?
I got home really late from the church.
You got home late from?
Georgia.
That's a sweet place. I like Georgia. You went to Marco Island. Where's that? What did you do in Marco Island? It's like the Keys, but not in the Keys, which essentially is not the Keys. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just jealous. That's the problem. Okay, well, I hope you guys had good weeks. As you can tell, I'm filling in for Rob. Sorry, I shouldn't move around so much. I am going to scoot forward because there's a bunch of you guys sitting in the back, which is actually not cool. See, you were told as children that sitting in the back of the bus was cool, but it's actually not. So sitting in the back of anything is not cool. So next week, I expect to see you guys up here. Is that cool? It is cool. I'm telling you it's cool. Because the back is not cool. I'm just kidding. I love everybody in the back. Okay, so like I said, reining it in. I'm filling in for Rob this week. They're in Guatemala. Hey, come back to me. They're in Guatemala this week. And so if you guys can just think about it, their trip's kind of winding down or winding up, whichever direction you think is better. But if you guys could just pray for them and just pray that God is just working through their group, that people are coming to know the gospel through their lives and through what they're doing down there. And you guys can just keep that on your minds and pray for them. And I'll get started. I'm going to pray too because I like to pray and talk to God. So we'll pray real quick and then I'll get started. God, thank you for this night that we could just be here and study your word. God, I just pray that... that you would speak through me, God, that your truth would just fill this place, God, that we would come to know you personally, God, that we would live just in communion with you constantly, God, that that we could call you friend. God, I just pray that over these students' lives. I pray that they would be an encouragement to each other. For those that are walking with Christ, God, that they just encourage each other's walk, that they'd build each other up, God, and I just pray that we'd be an effective body for your kingdom. It's in your son's name, amen. Okay, so we kind of finished up last week. There's like two or three verses left, but it's kind of like a double summary, so I don't know if Rob's going to go over them or not. I'm pretty sure he was done. Did you guys get the vibe that he was done? Did you guys get the vibe that Philippians is over? Does anybody have anything they want to share that they remembered from Philippians? It like really stuck out to him, like, hey, I remember this, and this is why I remember it, and here's why I like it. Yes, sir? Yeah, so Paul was in prison, yet he was happy. Where did his happiness come from? From God, okay. So God supplied his happiness, even though he was upset, not very, like, in a good physical place. Anybody else got anything?
That his favorite church was completely messed up, and that makes us feel better about our messed up.
Yeah, we're all jacked up and messed up, and we're junk and we're garbage. And Paul's favorite church was these people that definitely did not have it all together. They were the poster child of not poster childdom. And so that's why he loved them. And that's definitely hope for a guy like me, because I'm weird. And obviously Paul doesn't love him like through his own flesh, because these people are messed up. They're annoying. They're liars or whatever. They're just weirdos, okay? So there's no way Paul just loves them on his own. It's through Christ that he loves them. And there's other reasons and stuff like that. But awesome point that you brought up. Anybody else? One last thing? Anybody? It's okay if you don't got nothing. Hands? Yes.
He was happy with everything. Like, he gave away everything and he was still, like, happy.
Yeah, he found his happiness not in stuff, okay? So, next week, Jordan Hall's coming. You guys know Jordan. He's the cute guy that plays guitar. I shouldn't say that. That sounds weird. He's one of my good buddies. He called me up just to pray for you guys tonight, and that was awesome that he would just call and pray over you guys and pray over the message tonight. But he'll be coming in next week, and he's going to be, I don't want to like give away a secret, but he's going to be talking about living a gospel-filled life, and we've had the Gospel Life series. Like every mission trip that you guys have ever like been on or heard people come back from, we talk about like living the gospel in our daily lives and not just on mission trips. And so it can be this thing that like we hear a lot, but if we actually get it, like if we actually get what the Bible's saying, it can absolutely just wrecking ball your life, okay? So I kind of want to jump in between, not like jump in between, but I want to kind of tie the two things together. I want to tie in the end of Philippians with maybe what Jordan's talking about next week. I didn't want to just come up here and just do something random. So this is where I feel God's called me to talk tonight. And I will be reviewing and going back over some stuff that Rob already talked about. So don't get bored. It's just maybe a different spin on it. And I just want to tie in just a junk load of verses that go along with it well, that you guys can just use as references for your life. And then I think by the end of tonight, it'll beg a question that I think maybe Jordan can help us answer next week. So that's what we're doing tonight. Buckle your seatbelts. Like when you're riding in the car, it's safe. So if we could pull up Philippians 4:11, obviously we just finished Philippians, but this is a verse that we're going to go a little bit off of tonight. And you guys definitely hit it on the head, like two or three of you talked about the same thing. That's what we're going to cover tonight. But it says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. And he used that word situation, and he's using contentment. And like our fire station group guys, we talked about that for a lot. For a while, a couple weeks ago, and I like the word contentment, so stay on that word with us a little bit tonight, and I got to make sure I'm going with my notes that I don't get ahead of myself. But what was that secret Rob was telling us? Because Rob said, oh, well, Paul's got this secret for why he's content. What was the simple answer to this secret? He like made it up like, oh, it's this big crazy thing that, you know, you're going to have to get out a notebook and write it down. But what was the secret, or who was the secret of Paul's contentment?
Being content in Christ.
Being content in Christ, being content in Jesus. You guys got it. So Paul is finding his contentment in Christ. And there's that word, oh, I shouldn't do that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that. I know better. It says, whatever situation I'm in, I've learned to be content. And so, obviously, it is very clear that you cannot find contentment in a situation. A, because Paul said it. And B, if Jesus is where we find contentment, Jesus is something that is eternal, that's everlasting, that's forever and ever. And a situation is like a situation. Like, it's an allotted piece of time, or it's an allotted place. And so, if you are trying to find your contentment in a situation, or a piece of time, or we'll talk about more, you're not going to find it. So we'll keep going. So found it in Christ. When you find your contentment in Christ, your eyes are turned off of yourself, okay? So when your contentment is found in Christ, instead of looking at your situation or where you are or who you are or whatever, you're turning it on Christ because you're finding it in Him. And again, we're fixing our eyes on something that is eternal, that's everlasting. And so I think this will cause us to live a life that is on mission for Christ, that we have a focus and a goal on His kingdom moving and being active. I think Jordan's going to do an awesome job next week. And we'll just keep rolling. Jesus Himself, since we're talking about Him, I mean, He kind of is the most important reason we're here. I mean, that's why I'm here. Hopefully always, for the most part, always. Just kidding. But the reason we're here is Jesus, and this is what Jesus has to say about finding your contentment in things, because we can either find our contentment in Jesus, Okay, that's what Paul is suggesting. This is what Jesus is about to suggest to us. Or we can try to find our contentment in not Jesus. I know that sounds crazy, but not Jesus can be a lot of different things. And so we're going to go through some of those. Matthew chapter 6, if we could put that up on the board. I'm skipping around a little bit. I put them up there in a different order. But Matthew chapter 6, this is Jesus. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, or thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust can destroy, and neither thieves can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is what Jesus is saying about it. There's another version. I think it was, we read that in ESV, or I read it in ESV. There's another version that says like vermin, which is like the same as a worm. And I didn't want to use that version because who likes to think about worms? Unless you're fishing, that's gross. And we'll keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "And God is able to make grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." All right, so we're going to break that down just a little bit. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. So He is giving something to us. You guys got that? Jesus, God, they're the same person, okay? He's giving something to us. He's saying He's giving us grace abounding to us so that we will be having all sufficiency in all things at all times, okay? All times, does that seem like a situational thing to you? Like, or does that seem like anytime, anywhere, any place? God's giving us something anytime, anywhere, any place, and that's Himself, that's His grace, so that we can abound in every good work. And so He's not just giving us this grace. Rob talked about last week how a lot of times we take these verses that are like, God's going to give us this and God's going to give us that. And we get this idea like, ooh, God's going to give us a bunch of stuff. Like, ooh, Santa Claus. Like, what's He going to give us? And all these verses, if you read them in the whole context and you put them with other verses that are in Scripture and you just get the whole of Scripture, the idea is that every time He's giving us something, He's giving that something to us for a reason, and we're going to hit on it later, but that reason is His glory. It's not so that we can have whatever we want. He's not like this vending machine that you guys can, like the machine downstairs that you put quarters in, you click on Dr. Pepper, and it gives you Orange Fanta. It's not like that. God's not like that. The things that He gives us is not for our... It's not just for us. It's not just for our enjoyment and our benefit. It's for His glory. But if we jump back and our eyes are focused on Him, our eyes are focused on His kingdom, when He's giving us this stuff so that we can give Him glory, that's where we're going to find our joy in. So it is one of these things where we do find joy in it, and we do find peace, and we do find this happiness like Paul is talking about, because He's giving us Him, Himself, His grace, His mercy, His love, these laundry list of things Paul has said, faith and hope and all these things. He's giving us all of this so that we can praise Him, so that His name can be made great, so the gospel can be made known. And so it's like, oh, well, that's not about me. But if your eyes are focused on Him, that's where you're going to find your joy. That's where you're going to find your contentment. So Paul can sit in a jail with the church. Only one church out of all these places he's been to are like supporting him, taking care of him, praying for him, yada, 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 which is one of the reasons why he loved them, even though they're all messed up. But he can find contentment in a jail cell, like Rob was saying, eating stale bread. And their bread was already stale back then, so it was double stale bread. He found contentment. And so obviously his contentment was not on his situation or where he was. It was on Christ. And so Christ was filling him with this stuff. He's writing these letters. He's like, all you messed up people, I love you. And Jesus loves you too. And he found his joy in that, sitting in a stinky jail cell with nasty rats and really bad double stale bread. Okay? We'll keep going. Yep. And Ephesians has some of these same words. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, they have a lot of the kind of similar. They're like paralleling. Can you guys say paralleling? paralleling passages. And so they have a little bit of the same thing that they're talking about. But anyways, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 will be in. And this is in ESV. If you guys have Bibles or you have phones, you guys feel free to follow along. Rob was saying, like, get some sweet Bible apps so you guys can join in. You can read it at home. I know I'm taking like a segue from what we're talking about. You guys get that? All right, you guys are not easily amused. But there are some like really sweet apps that you guys can get, some different things that you can study and learn God's Word for yourself. I know I'm like putting a parentheses and talking. But like the Bible, like the one that people have on their phone that just says like Bible. I don't know who makes it. I think it's like Bible.com or Bible.org. But that one's sweet. It has plans that you guys can go through. So you can just click on a plan and just read through it. And you can even tell it to remind you at a specific time of day to read it. So, Adriana, stop crying. Don't look at Jess, she'll turn red. But you can tell this app to remind you to read God's Word. How sweet of a tool is that, okay? Your friends should be doing that. You should be calling each other up. Hey, bro, what are you doing in the Word? Or what are you studying? What's God showing you? Oh, bro, it's sweet. It's I'm learning this. And what are you learning? And then you guys should just be going and doing life. But a good stepping stone is just a simple app that can remind you every morning. I think mine said at like 7 o'clock or something. It doesn't mean I read it every day. But at least it reminds me. Well, I mean, I do read it every day, just not exactly at 7 o'clock. But it says, hey, read your, I happen to be on one that's like Essential Jesus, okay? And we're stuck in Exodus right now, so it's really hard to keep going. But it just says that like 7 o'clock each morning when my alarm goes off or has already been off or whenever I decide to wake up, it says, hey, don't forget, this is the most important thing you can do with your day. So anyways, as we're taking that segue, you guys are opening your Bibles so that you can follow along. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Sorry, I'm kind of rabbit trailing tonight. Says that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the other saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. I really like Paul, and he writes like a lot of really solid stuff. But he's one of those people that like can't keep a thought too long, so he's just got to like write it all down as fast as possible. And so he writes like these super long sentences. They're like four verses long that have no commas. So like you're reading it, and it's kind of difficult, and you're like having to break it up. So going through it, he says, He may grant you to be strengthened in power. Who's giving you that power? It says the Spirit is giving you that power. Okay, do you just need power? Like, when I think of power, I think of, like, the Hulk or those guys that are on TV that, like, grab those round boulders and lift them up and they put them on those, like pedestals. Have you guys ever watched strongman competitions?
No.
Okay, all right, whatever. Well, you guys should watch them. But anyways, that word power, you think of like, but it says God is giving you power. So when we read that, we're like, it's another one of these like me things. It's like, oh, sweet, God's giving me power. But who's actually the one giving you power? It says through the Spirit. Does the Spirit, he does, okay, don't get me wrong. But does the Spirit care more about your flesh or about your spirit, like the spiritual things? Obviously, the Spirit. So, sorry, Thin Crust Pizza's coming back up. The power He's giving you is through the Spirit. So, what do you think it's for? What do you think it's for? Good works in Him. So, we'll keep going. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So, that's your part, is faith. You actually have to do something. It's not just like, boom, like He just plugs in like a plug in to you and just gives you all this stuff. You have a part in this, and it's faith. And you guys know there's tons of verses about faith. Read Hebrews. There's a whole chapter on it. That you would be rooted and grounded in love, okay? Now, what kind of love do you guys think that's talking about? Again, do you think it's talking about like the earthly love, or do you think it's talking about the Jesus love that's more important than you, your feelings, your emotions. If the person stepped on your toe or said you're ugly or whatever, it's not the dependent love. It's the non-dependent love that he's talking about. So that he would fill you with love, strength, comprehend, blah, 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 blah. And then to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And we could just sit on that for like at least 2 or 3 weeks, but we're not going to. But that you would know the love of Christ and be filled with the fullness of God. Here's another question. Do you think the fullness of God is like, oh yeah, that guy's filled with the fullness of God. He's like, you know, stud athlete and he's cute and I'm talking as a girl. And he's got like a cool car and he's got, you know, like a sweet house and he likes to eat pretzels and hummus at lunch. Do you think that's cool? Do you think that's the fullness of God that they're talking about? Or do you think it's not talking about the physical again? You think it's talking about the spiritual? That love that he's being filled with, that fullness of God, knowing God, who he is. It says grounded in love. I like circled it like that. The love of Christ gives us our joy and our contentment. We talked about that. Paul, he's like, I don't care. I'm in jail. Whatever. Like, where I'm at doesn't make me happy. Even though the keys makes me happy. That's just my flesh. We were just talking about the keys. But his love is light to the world and an encouragement and drive for the body of Christ. So his love is light for the world. So it's like, I'm God. And we are the displayers of his light. We're his lanterns. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Okay? So that's our job. That's what's cool. It's not just our job, though. It's not that we're doing this on our own. Like, okay, Matt said that we have to be filled with Christ's love and we have to be light. So I'm just going to go be light. I'm just going to go do light. You can't. Again, it's strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. So every time, it's just our flesh is just like, me, 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 me. And our eyes are like, mirror, 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 instead of on Christ, okay? So let's just completely not even think about the physical. Think about the spiritual side. Filled with love, we're the light to the world. And it's the encouragement for the body. So for other believers, what keeps us going is love. The love of Christ inside of us keeps us going. So when our brother and sister in Christ is, you know, their flesh sometimes, you know, happens, whatever, it's not like, oh, I'm done with you. It's, I still love you because Christ is that important, because Christ loved me and my sin. Okay, we're going to keep going. And then verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than anything that we could ask for, we're going to go back to that, what we would ask for, or think, according to the power at work within us. So again, not us, the power at work within us. It's not, it doesn't say according to our power or according to how buff we are or how many of those big giant round stones we can pick up and set on one of those things and grunt and wear, you know, that, where they put like the LeBron James powder on their hands. Have you guys not seen these things before? Chalk. Thank you. Chalk. I didn't pay attention in school. Okay. But it says the power at work within us. So again, within us. It's not our power. It doesn't say our power. It says the power at work within us. To him be the glory. Again, that is the most important thing, that Christ is glorified. That's the whole reason that everything else is happening, that Christ would be glorified in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all the generations forever and ever. Amen. Through all the generations, you guys are obviously like a generation. Okay. I am, you know, like at the edge of your generation. I'm on the edge. Just kidding. And then Jess is a completely another generation. I'm just kidding. And then we have our parents, and then we have our grandparents, and yada, yada, yada. But the hope and the goal is that Christ would be filled through all the generations. And how do you guys think that's going to happen? Do you think that Christ is going to be filled through the generations if you hide it under a bushel? All right, exactly. You guys get it. These songs that you sang as a kid, even though they're incredibly overly repetitive and they get stuck in your head and you probably learned like the words on a felt board, they actually are like good gospel truths. The glory is His. The glory is God's. Speaking of God's glory, I'm jumping all over the place. Exodus 34:14. I didn't put it on the board. It's on my phone. And I'm looking up on the internet because I'm still on iOS 6. So my Bible app crashes all the time. So I have to use my iPad for that. And I got another one on there. So update your phones. Exodus 34:14. It says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." So our affection, our faith, the thing that we're putting our hope in is for God. It's for His glory. And God is a jealous God. And so we think like, oh yeah, let's glorify Christ, but He's actually jealous. So for those of us who are in Christ, when we are following after Him, loving Him, you know, we're just like, Jesus, You're everything. But then sometimes we'll backslide a little bit, or we'll get out of focus, or, you know, we'll just not be thinking. We'll be thinking of our flesh. And so we start giving our affection and our glory to something else, to someone else, to whatever else. That's for those of us that are in Christ. For those of us who aren't, and not for those of us, because I'm not the us, but for those of you possibly in this room, maybe, I hope not, who aren't in Christ, He's also jealous for you too, because you're His creation. So whether you're His child or you're not His child, you don't think you are because you're, you know, well, I don't believe in Him yet. He's jealous for you. He wants your attention and your, as a bubble. He wants, did you guys see it? I had a spit bubble. He wants our attention and our affection. And it's righteous for Him to be jealous. We think of like the term jealous, and we think of like, oh, jealous, like that's bad. But the jealousy that He's talking about is not like, oh, you're wearing my shoes and you saw me buy those at JCPenney before the back to school bash and you know I was going to wear them. That's mine. It's not that type of, it is that type of jealous. That's mine. But it's not the negative jealous, because we hear that verse and we're like, God can't be jealous. Jealous is bad. But He can be jealous because we are His. He created us. He owns us. And we choose to give our glory, like our worship, we choose to give it to other stuff that's not Him. We give it away to junk. And so it's okay for Him to be upset about that. It's okay for Him to be jealous because we're His. And I hope that sinks in a little bit, because there's so many times that we think about the flesh, we think about what we want, and we're not focused on Him and glorifying Him. Keep going. Talking about these things that aren't going to last, the flesh, yada, yada, yada. There's tons of verses. Proverbs 31:30, you know, it talks about like sweet woman, whatever. Jess is it, so I don't even have to read it. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. So these things that we're putting our hope in, like beauty, it's vain. It's not going to last. There's another verse in Isaiah. It's like prophecy. It says, a voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? It says, all flesh is grass and all beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. You guys know that verse. But what it's saying is, it ends. It's flesh. It's going to go. Okay? I'm not good at keeping flowers alive. Sorry, that pizza. I got thin crust with bacon, pepperoni, and onion. It's just like, let me out. I'm not very good at, what? You had some too, didn't you? Onions are good. Onions are good. It's a vegetable. You got the tomato sauce. You got the onions. It's healthy. But getting back in this, we've heard that verse like, the word of the Lord stands forever. And like, oh yeah, the word of the Lord stands forever. But don't jump over the part that says, flesh is like grass, okay? I was talking about flowers. I can't keep flowers alive. You guys might know that I do like some landscaping here and there. I'm trying to get out of it and just do more like concrete pavers because I kill stuff. It's all about water. Just keep it watered and it'll live. But if you don't keep water on, it dies. But flowers I can't keep alive. And so it's saying flowers are like flesh. So for me, if my flesh was a flower I was taking care of, it would die really quick. Have you guys ever seen grass mowed? Has anybody ever mowed grass? All the guys in here should raise their hand. Okay, everyone put your hands down. guys that didn't raise your hands, just give me kind of like a, like you don't have to raise your hands, but just give me a, you should mow grass, okay? It's one of those things you need to experience in your life. But when the lawnmower, my grass is like totally out of control and it needs to be cut. But you know, when it rains, you can't mow the grass. But when you mow the grass, it's like tall and then it gets cut. And then it blows out the side of the mower all over everything and stains your car and your house. But it's dead. It's done. So you walk out 2 days later, it's like a bunch of like hay on the ground. You guys know what hay is? Like they feed horses. Anybody ever been around a horse? That's grass that's been cut up. It's dead. And then they bale it up in a bale. Okay? Grass doesn't last. Flowers don't last. And so we read this and it's like, oh, the word of the Lord stands forever. But it's saying all this junk, beauty, flesh. Think of what flesh can entail. Just the word flesh. Like think of all it can. It's not just talking about just your body. It's talking about like the desires of your flesh. What flesh is. That stuff is gone. Okay. It's going to end. I want to keep repeating these things that are just non-eternal because I think next week and I think at the end of tonight, we're really going to hit on some things that are just like, okay, like what do I do then? Because flesh stinks, okay? So let's keep going. Flesh does stink. I have a short story. I had no stories. I was actually going to play a video. You know, you're supposed to take up a certain amount of time when you're up here. So I had a video, and I was like, I'm just really not sure that this is the video I want to show. And then I started doing more research on the guy that was doing the video. I was like, I'm not going to show the video. So then I was trying to think of a story. And I was like, I can't think of a story. So we're talking about flesh, and I just had a story pop into my mind. So I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I'm not sure if it's going to help you guys love Jesus more, but it's going to be one of those things that you're supposed to do while you're up here. Okay? So flesh is ending. Flesh fails. Flesh does not last, and flesh smells, especially when it catches on fire, especially your hair. Okay? So one time, I was working for this mechanic, and instead of hooking up chains to a car that wasn't running, he'd like pull it up into the bay of the work of the like shed. Sheds are outdoors. Well, shops are too, but you know what I'm saying. Anyways, and so instead of pulling it in or us pushing it, he's like, oh, that's too much work. Use starting fluid and just keep it running. So I'm laying on the hood of this old beat up truck that looks kind of like Justin's, but a little bit smaller. And I'm sitting there and I'm pressing starting fluid into it. And if you guys know anything about vehicles, which you might not, which it's completely okay because you're not old enough maybe to own one. So unlike grass, you don't have to know about it. Guys, you should know how to mow grass. It's got two intakes, two different holes where there's air intake that happens. So you got to have air, you got to have fuel, you got to have a spark. Makes combustion. That's how vehicles work. And so I'm spraying starting fluid, which is just like more flammable than hairspray. I'm spraying it in. Like I'm trying to evenly spray it in both the intakes. And then as I'm like riding on the hood of this vehicle all around the yard, the shop I worked at, I guess I put too much in one of the intakes and not enough. Well, it's one intake, but there's two different like ports. So it doesn't matter. Anyways, put too much in one, not enough in the other. Boom, backfires, throws this huge flame all over me. Eyebrows gone. Arm hairs gone. It even singed my knuckle hairs because I got a lot of hair everywhere. Singed my knuckle hairs, my facial hair. I still have bad facial hair, but I had worse facial hair and it was just kind of stubby. Burnt that off and I smelled horrible. Jess, did you know me then? Yeah, you did. That's what I thought. It was horrible. So then I had to go shave everything and then just scrub myself with soap for like 30 straight minutes and nothing happened. So flesh stinks. That's what I want you to remember. When I say flesh stinks, I want you to remember, flesh doesn't last, okay? It's not something that's going to last. So there's my story. I got my job done. And I think what Jordan's going to hit on next week is the idea of living your life on mission, living your life as if the gospel is the most important thing to you. And I know that we've literally probably talked about that subject, like that exact subject, so many times, but it is the most important thing that we can get across to you guys. It's the most beneficial thing. It's the most important thing that you guys could do with your life is to understand that this life that you're living is all a facade. It's all fake, okay? Yeah, like you have skin and yeah, like I have stinky flip-flops on, and yeah, I have a vehicle to drive home in, I have a house to live in, but those things aren't going to last. One last verse I'll hit on is one of my favorite verses because it ties in the idea of like the world being junk and God being everything. It's 1 Timothy 6:6-7. It says, but godliness, so like walking with God, it's not saying like godliness, like super holy, like Pharisee. It's saying like walking with God. It says godliness and contentment is great gain. And further in the verse, it talks about just being content with if I got food and I've got like clothes, I'm fine. So it's not saying I'm going to find my contentment in that. But he realized like, yeah, we have needs. Like if I don't eat, I'm going to die. So it's not like the super impractical, like anti, like hedonistic, like, oh, I'm just going to quit everything. Like I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink water. I'm not going to do anything because God is everything. Like that's dumb. Like God gave us a phone so that we could call Domino's and get a thin crust pizza when we're hungry. Like those things, don't find your contentment in those things, but they're provided for you, okay? And if they're not provided for you, there's someone in the church that loves you that can provide that for you. But saying godliness with contentment is great gain. So like that's a really solid thing you can do is basically what it's saying. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. And I think the most theological thing I can bring to you guys off of that verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, take nothing out of it. I hate the new country music, so I pretty much don't listen to it anymore because it's just talking about stuff that's just flesh. And not that the old stuff didn't, but it was just like less aggressive. And I guess when I was little, I didn't know any better. So I'm not saying it's good or bad or whatever. But I just, the new stuff is garbage. But there is one song that says, I've never seen a hearse with a trailer hitch. You guys heard that song? Yeah, it's true. How many hearses have you seen with a trailer hitch? Unless they're towing another dead body behind it. It's a body. It's a dead body. You can't take your junk with you when you go. And so that verse is saying like it's just, it's flesh. You brought nothing into the world. You were created from dust. You didn't make yourself happen and you can't take anything with you. So if you guys are just going to waste your entire lives trying to grow up and be adults and have successful careers and have sweet cars and sweet houses and sweet this and sweet that, and that's all you care about, you're wasting your life. You're absolutely wasting your life. So let's just spend some time quietly, just maybe praying or maybe just bow your head or sit there and stare at me. I don't really care, but just sit quietly and I want you to meditate on some of these, just these questions that this verse is bringing up. These aren't questions I have. This is what God is saying to us from these verses. It's in these passages. Where is your contentment? Don't answer that out loud, but where do you find contentment? If we can realize God's plan for our life and realize as Christ followers our plan for His kingdom, I think we can find our ultimate contentment. Let me ask you guys another question. Just think about this. What is your biggest need? Like, what's the thing you need the most? And I'll honestly say to you guys, that's a hard one to answer because I could think of, you know, maybe if I had, you know, a little bit more money and you know, I could spend more time with you know, X, Y, and Z people and I could do less this and that and I could do more of this. Or maybe if I had whatever. And you guys are probably, if you're being completely honest, you're thinking of things like, what is my biggest need? And we're just so easily turned to the flesh. Our eyes are so easily turned on ourselves, just mirroring back at us. Is your biggest need the gospel in your life every day? Can you say that's your biggest need? Can I say that's my biggest need? Is the gospel the biggest thing I need in my life every single day for my life to function? Is it something spiritual that's coming to your mind, or is it something physical? And that's not a guilt trip if it was. I'm saying myself, like, I struggle looking at the spiritual things constantly. But the biggest need on our life, what is it? And I pray that we could realize, whether we realize it the easy way or we realize it the hard way, and God has to just beat everything out of our lives until all we can look at is Him. However it's got to happen, I pray over every single one of your lives that you would realize that the gospel is what you need in your life every day. It's the biggest need that you have every day. The gospel, nothing else. Another question, what's going to last forever? What is actually going to last forever? Relationship with Christ, voice cracks, they don't last forever. A relationship with Christ, the relationships you build on earth, because maybe someday you'll see that person again, or maybe we'll be so focused on God that we're just like screaming and praising Him that it's like, you look familiar, but I don't know you. What's actually going to last forever? And then what are you putting your time in? What are you putting your time in? Don't say, oh, well, I have to be at school 8 hours a day. That's just something you have to do. But while you're at school, are you just at school to be at school? Are you trying to play sports? Are you trying to be this academic genius? Are you trying to yada, yada, yada? Or are you going to use wherever you're at school, at work, at home, are you going to use that as a platform for the gospel? Are you going to use where God's put you as a platform for His work, for His kingdom? What's actually going to last forever? And then we have to respond to this. These questions that we have, like the flesh versus Jesus and all this stuff, like we have to respond. There has to be a response. And I think, honestly, there's only two responses. There's a response that says, I'm going to have a life that the end-all, be-all, most important thing to me is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the gospel is the means to my end. That the gospel is the most important thing for me. I think that's one answer. And I think the other answer is everything else. And everything else can be anything but Jesus. It can be anything but the gospel working in our lives. So how are you going to respond to this truth? It's clear that we need Christ. It's clear that the flesh is this thing we battle with. But where is your contentment going to be? Is it going to be in anything else? Or is it going to be in Jesus? So I just pray that over y'all's life. I just pray that you could understand that. Rob talked about the body. That's the whole reason the body is here, is just to lift you guys up and to just pour into you guys. I pray that students that are walking with Christ would be pouring into each other, that they'd be pouring into people that don't know Christ, that Christ would be our means to an end, that the gospel is the most important thing to our life, that we could look back in our life and say, you know, I did it. I live for the gospel. I just pray that over y'all's life. I just pray that you don't live an empty life. And you guys can open your eyes and whatever. Just if you want to keep spending time in prayer, just pray to Him, talk to Him, whatever. But hopefully, just next week as we keep, you know, chewing on this, that you guys would just understand. I pray that God just speak through Jordan and just that His kingdom would be most important to us. I pray that over y'all's lives. The band is going to finish up with a song. Let me just pray over you guys really quickly before they get started with their final song. Sorry, I moved in front of the mic. But let me pray over you guys. God, I just love these students. I care about them. And I just pray that just that you would be glorified in their lives, God, that the gospel would be the most important thing to them, and that as they're living a life for you, God, that other people would just see the light, that they'd see you, the truth, in their lives, God, and it would leave them with that same question that they have to respond to, God. And I pray that just that our response would be, it would be you. It wouldn't be everything else, that we would just follow in love and cherish and walk in faith after you, God. I love these guys and girls that are here, God. And I just pray that they know that they're loved, and just that you love them and that you care about them and you want to be most important in their life. Thank you for your Son. His name, amen.